right. We are live on Facebook. It is Friday, March 26th, and you are watching Margaritas with Margarita. Our honor, it's an honor for me, Hope Katz Gibbs, to be here with you and Rita to talk about how women can flex their financial muscles. So pour yourself a drink, some club soda. I have these pretty magnets in my fabulous margarita glass from my friend Lisa Simon. And we are going to talk today about a topic that impacts so many women, equal pay for single moms. This week, Rita talked with CNBC reporters Sharon Epperson and Michelle Fox about the fact that single moms are hit the hardest by the gender pay gap and custody arrangements can matter. So we decided to share her insights with you today. Let's start with the facts. Rita, hello. Welcome to your show.
Hi, thanks so much for hosting.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure and an honor. 15 minutes of financial tips for women to start off the weekend. So here are some of the facts on this incredible situation. So while full-time working moms lag behind men in pay, making 82 cents for every $1 that a man makes, mothers are even further behind. Moms can earn 75 cents only for every dollar paid to fathers, and single mothers bring in 54 cents for every dollar earned by married men, according to the National Women's Law Center. In addition, a recent survey shows custody arrangements have a bearing on what single mothers earn. Those with a 50-50 parenting schedule are 54% more likely to earn at least $100,000 a year less than those whose kids with them are with them most of the time. All right, so these are statistics that are all on your website, but let's get down to it. So what can moms do, working moms, working single moms, do to overcome the pay gap?
Well, sure. I mean, first, we just need to acknowledge that there is a lot of pressure on moms and, of course, single moms to be the primary parent and to be omnipresent. So there are things that we can do. So custody arrangements do matter. And I want to be very clear here. I am a certified financial planner. I am not a legal expert, but it's important to work with the team. Have your financial advisor as well as your legal professional and your legal team to make sure that you make arrangements to revisit parenting and parenting schedules. That can make a difference for single moms.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about things to look out for. So ideally, before the divorce is finalized, this should be worked out. However, negotiations can be made along the way for a more equitable parenting schedules that create flexibility for working moms. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So I can share some antidotes that could be really helpful. So one example is perhaps a mom might have a child or children who are not in school full time in different parts of the country, kindergarten may be half day. And so there may be an increased childcare expense or there may be logistical challenges. So it's important to make sure that what you decide is not necessarily final to give you the opportunity to revisit parenting schedules or any support that you would need, whether that's child support or spousal support. Other thing I wanted to say is co-parenting that has become more acceptable, and women who are able to have more time for themselves are allowed to go back to school, work more, network. I mean, for goodness sakes, even exercise and get in a workout. So this is really important for a mom's overall well-being.
Absolutely. Have you worked with some parents, some working moms who are really struggling with this? Could you share some of their stories?
So what I have found is for people who have been struggling in this, what has made all the difference is making sure that they do have the ability to work with their legal advisors, as well as their ex's legal advisors. And so one area of discussion has been preschool. So I'm based here in DC Metro, and we have some of the most expensive childcare in the nation. So revisiting the cost for that, because in some cases it might not be appropriate for a working mom to work 40, 50 hours a week. A lot of what she is earning, she would lose to childcare. So being sensitive to those expenses and the nuances of that situation has been very helpful.
So talk a little bit more about this situation. I mean, those statistics are pretty daunting that women who are raising their kids by themselves are making such so much less than the dads, especially married dads. So talk about some of your clients that are really succeeding in this area.
Sure. So I would say the clients who are succeeding in this area, no one plans to get divorced, but divorce does happen and it doesn't have the stigma that it did have. And I think people are more willing to get help. And when you do get help, you are more likely to have a more favorable outcome. So single moms who are thriving, one of the themes that they have in common is they do have good legal support, but also advocating for themselves, and they're using their time wisely. Some of them have pivoted and gone back to school. And some of them actually, if their parents do live locally and they're able to spend time with their grandchildren, they help. This might not necessarily be financial help, but even having grandma, grandpa take the kids for an activity 1 or 2 days a week can make all the difference. So it's not just financial help. The other thing that I want people to be aware of is it isn't just your paycheck. We have to think beyond your paycheck. It is paid time off. It's the safety nets. That doesn't just include paid time off, but health insurance, life insurance, disability, retirement savings. So it's not just the paycheck, but everything that goes along with that paycheck.
And talk about planning for the future. So when you're a single mom, you've got so many things to be concerned about, obviously the day-to-day, but also the future, paying for college. What's your advice to women who are raising their kids on their own about planning ahead for the future?
Sure. So one of the things I think can be really helpful is all too often people think, I just want to get through the divorce. And understandably so, that is very, very painful. But you also want to make sure that you're thinking about the long term. There is nothing wrong with keeping the house, but understand the implications of that. Then also when it comes to property settlement, do you take retirement? Do you take Amazon stock or cash? So I think these can all be really helpful. It's not that you should always do X or always do Y, but if you do X, this is how it affects you in the short term, and this is how it could affect you in the long term. So it's about understanding the impact those choices have. But ultimately, this is what I think is really important, is you love your kids, of course, but you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because kids, you know, I have 3 kids myself. There's loans, grants, scholarship for college, but in retirement, you know, there is no financial aid. So it's important that it goes against what we think. We want to put our children first, but sometimes it's important to make sure that we take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others.
Absolutely. I want to take you back. All right. Talk about the house. So what are the pros and cons of keeping the house in a divorce settlement?
So the pro is, you know, it's continuity and stability, right? That's a pro. This is your home. You don't have to move. The con is maybe, you know, it's uncomfortable with the memories or maintenance, or maybe it's too much of a drain on your financial situation. So there's pros and cons. But what I think is really helpful in the couples or moms that I've worked with is they understand what makes sense for them and their situation. So in some situations, it made sense to keep the house. In other situations, no, I mean, just today, someone told me, she's like, I just sold my house. I loved my house at the time, but been there, done that. I just feel so relieved of the burden. I hate having surprise bills for repairs. And I don't care what they say about renting. I've never felt so free in my life. So everybody's situation is different. And it's so important to respect and honor what people value and where they are in their journey.
Absolutely. And that's what brings, you know, us back to working with a financial planner, someone like yourself who really takes it case by case, and you have the big picture in mind, but you also understand that it's a personal situation for everybody. Talk a little bit about planning for retirement when you're in this situation.
So sure. So many single moms may be what we call solopreneurs or entrepreneurs. So they are doing well, but they may not have access to a retirement plan. Just because you're not a full-time employee doesn't mean that you can't save for retirement. So you can have a Roth IRA, or if you want to save money in taxes today, maybe it's a traditional IRA, Oh, if you need to save more, SEP IRA, simple IRA. So while I know I just threw a lot of terms out there, but the point is that just because you don't have access to a retirement plan as a solopreneur or freelancer, independent contractor, doesn't mean that you can't save for retirement. So I think that is really important for our listeners to know that they, if they value the entrepreneurial lifestyle more because they have more control over their schedule, they can still save for retirement. That doesn't have to come at a cost.
Yeah, and that's perfect. And again, it's that case-by-case basis. And go to Rita at margaritacheng.com for additional information and insights. And Rita, you're always so helpful to us. And it is complicated and complex. And all of those options and opportunities really can be overwhelming. So what is the one takeaway this Friday evening, March 26th, that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
So I'd say the one takeaway is, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I know it can be scary, but sometimes it's really important for you. What's the worst that could happen? Someone thinks you're dumb. You're not dumb. If you are asking that question, probably someone else has that question. So I just encourage people, you know, to ask questions and get the support they need. And if they're not getting the right answers, you might not be asking the right people.
That makes perfect sense. I love that, shop around, right? For everything from sneakers to a financial planner. So it is Friday night, March 26th. You are watching Margaritas with Margarita, 15 minutes or less of financial advice to kick off the weekend. And next weekend, next Friday, I'm very excited to announce that we are going to have my partner, Cynthia Della Renzi, who is working with me on the Incandescent Women Project, interview Rita as well. Rita will be the cover story of Incandescent Women when we talk about money in April of 2021. So incandescentwomen.com will be the flashpoint where we show Rita off a little bit more. And next Friday, Cynthia and I will be interviewing you. So thank you so much for your time tonight, Rita. We wish you a very happy weekend. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, and we look forward to talking to you next Friday.